Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are expanding our reach around the Beltway. Are we in Hailthorpe officially? Would you call this Hailthorpe?
Yeah, it's Hailthorpe.
Okay, all right. Hugh Sisson is here. We're at Heavy Seas. This is his joint. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Roz, I'm getting thin on the Betty Boops here. Don't make me come over to South Baltimore. Greg Vetter is here from Tessie Mays. Tell everyone what we're doing, because I'm going to do a lot of talking here. I'm going to hold this up. And what I love to do when I get a loquacious, intelligent group together is I drink and you talk. How about that?
Okay, fair enough. So today we're kicking off a special promotion. We actually got a recipe from a Ukrainian brewery called Pravda. They're based in Lviv. We brewed their recipe. And so we're releasing the beer here at the tap room today, and it'll be here until it sells out. And all of the profits are being donated to the United Nations Ukrainian Relief Fund.
It's a special leaf on there, if you take a look at
that. Yeah, I know. Well, hey, look, that's their artwork. That's not our artwork.
Is that Canadian? You sure this isn't Moosehead?
No, that's not Moosehead.
Okay, I'm just checking. All right,
But so all the proceeds from there, and then the week of the 11th, we're going to start to release 50 barrels, which is roughly 100 half kegs. Is going to go out to the local restaurant.
What does that mean? 100, yeah. Like, what is...
Okay,
like,
so
does that
pardon
mean
me.
That I can go somewhere in Towson, sit down and drink this delicious...
You will be able to drink this delicious stuff, hopefully somewhere in Towson. I'm not sure where it's going to go yet. But
well, have you ever met Greg? You guys know...
I have not, actually.
This guy makes the best dressing, like, in the world. He's doing it right over at Gold Ring, right?
Yep.
So we're having an argument about where he is, and I was at Silver Spring Mining with a hockey player, Gary Rissling, who I covered in 1984. He was a skipjack, and a penguin, and a cap, and all that, and we were having this argument on the air about which side is Perry Hall, which side is White Marsh, where does Fullerton end, and where does Kingsville begin, and where is White Marsh, and what the hell is Nottingham? No one's ever heard of Nottingham, but now there's a whole Nottingham. Everybody's Nottingham. So he is on Kelso Drive. I would call that Golden Ring. And that, what do they call it?
Essex. That's what
that ain't Essex. Essex is over by that river.
That's upper Essex.
It's almost Overly. It's almost Rosedale. It's almost White Marsh.
It's high class Essex.
That's what I mean. Upper Essex.
It's over by the community college is where it is. Right by the Toys R Us, and you make a left. No, I grew up...
Toys R Us is out of business.
Well, of course it is. My home was right on King Avenue.
I thought they came back.
Online. In that location?
Oh, in that location.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. That location.
Oh, they did come back there?
No, I know they went into bankruptcy, but I thought they came back about a year or so ago.
You know what they go into bankruptcy? All I think about with Toys R Us is, back in the, like, 80s and 90s, all I remember was Toys R Us' CEO was the highest paid CEO in America. There was a point in the 90s where maybe outside of bankers or whatever, because maybe bankers couldn't get away with that, but the CEO of... Google it. I'm telling you it's true.
That's hilarious.
Hugh Sisson is here. We're brewing beer. We're going to talk about dressings and more than that, just local businesses and doing something like this. I mean, I don't know that we ever have a moment where you think, oh, my dressing factory is going to get bombed, or my radio station is going to get bombed, or... You know, something.
No.
This is a whole different level of, like, from your heart and what the kind of dude you are and what you stand for in regard to beer and supporting people.
Well, this was a pretty easy decision for us. I mean, you know, all you do is turn on the television and you see all this crap going on, and it's, you know, and these people don't deserve this. So it was pretty. And then this reach out from this brewery in Lviv in the Ukraine. Which went to a lot of breweries.
Where did you see it? Was it something on a brewery page, insider industry?
A friend of mine who works for our wholesaler in the Pittsburgh market, who is of Ukrainian background, he sent me this thing and said, I would like it if you would do this. And it took me 2 seconds to look at it and say, hell yeah, we're going to do this. So he may actually show up today. I'm not positive.
Well, this is interesting. And I want to ask you the little how the sausage is made. I come to you and tell you I have this champagne vinaigrette. My wife has it. We mix it up in a batch and bring it over in a 2-liter jar. And you get all romantic about Mama Tessie May and all that stuff. And you're like, this is good shit, man. I want to make this.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. I mean, I've done business with tons of business. I mean, I was over at Taharka in their freezer, you know, tasting the eggnog coming off the line. And every time I walk into one of these, I mean, I'm a little AM radio station that outpunches my weight by a shit ton some days.
Right. Man, that's a technical term, by the way.
Wait till next week. Wait till next week. Right. This is, how many percentage on this?
Oh, that's 8.5%.
Oh, Jesus. Water! Water!
It is a beer with a little testicular fortitude.
And I'm about to have, I got a driver who's wearing the Ukrainian flag over here. No, but putting these special things on, you know, soup to nuts, it's, you guys have like schedules and like seasonals and when the peach ale comes and when the pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
How did this happen quickly?
Well,
when you're small, you can pivot.
So we're kind of medium, but we have two brew houses in the building. So we have, and that's where you actually do all the assemblage. So we have a big one and then we have a little one. So we were able to pivot this very quickly because we can always slot things into the little one. So we made only 15 barrels, which is, 120 cases or something of this. But we then decided that we were going to do a batch of it on the big system, which is where all the kegs that are going to come from that go to the market.
So, if you walk into his brewery, will you recognize it as something that is vats and machines and... the production of all of this... Brian Billick's my partner, right? And I'll give a shout out to Living Classrooms. And when Brian and I would... You're my sponsor... 8 years ago, Brian and I would walk in here, and he would literally, and he's still my partner, he still would do this, would want to know every part of it. He was the most inquisitive human being, naturally. I took him down to Secrets in Ocean City. They have a whole setup there. They can run the whole island on electricity. Like, literally, they are the backup power plant. And it was like walking into a James Bond episode. You know, it's like Willy Wonka, where the steam's coming off the stuff and like all that. For you, with these two silos, how is your production, Greg?
We have a main bottling line. We then have a separate 1.5 ounce packet machine. Then we have two cup machines, so little dip cups, 1.5 ounce dip cups, and then an 8 ounce dip cup machine.
But you're making ranch on Friday and Italian on Monday, and
ideally, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's how production line works.
For the most part, with us, because it's dressing and food, I don't know what beer is. We have to basically...
Beer takes time, right?
They have a longer fermenting process and all that good stuff. But from a actual bottling and filling perspective, we basically have to stop every, 4 hours and do a deep clean. And so we kind of run in those 4 hour segments, and then we'll run two shifts. So at, 7 a.m. to whatever, and then the next team will come in and then do kind of the mid-shift additional clean, and then we'll kind of run the next set of stuff.
Yeah, what people don't realize is that when you do beer, and obviously when you do food products, I mean, easily 40% of all of the time in the factory is spent cleaning.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's everything. And it's also kind of the hardest group of people, well, at least for us where we are, to keep because, the people that are on that kind of sanitation crew, it's tough. It's a tough job.
Yeah,
not easy.
The only thing that probably works for us is at the end of the day, they can then hang up their apron and go have a beer.
Right. We're offering a salad. They're like, yeah, I'm going to Heavy Sea.
Yeah, man, I had 2 pints of Italian today, man.
Right. I walked in here and you set us up back here in the VIP. You know, I'm rolling VIP here.
Well, it will be when we get finished.
I didn't know they had VIP on Halethorpe. I mean, that's upscale. I like that. You know, yeah, I like
that's
that.
Upper Essex right there.
That's right. I mean, hey, I love Essex jokes because I'm from Dundalk. I'll make those all day. You're not from Essex. I mean, but nonetheless, we're over here in Halethorpe. Ukrainian beer and American red ale. Run me through what I'm drinking, a chocolate stout, right?
Right. You're drinking.
My wife was drinking this.
I'm drinking this.
So you get a recipe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it speaks to the science of grandmom's lemon garlic and him trying to figure it out over on the east side. You get a recipe and you want to make it perfect. Do you ever know?
No.
In this
particular case, they didn't ship me a case of this beer so I could kind of dial it in.
Right, okay.
So,
and I would trust no one more than you to dial it in.
This is their recipe. on the first shot out of the gate. Mm-hmm. So I would love to at some point actually try their actual beer and see what the hell happens.
What's in it? Tell me how, like, when you get this and you say, all right, I recognize that. You've made similar beers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's...
It just feels like there's a million different kind of blueberry stuff to me that, like, you never make the same beer twice, kind of, sort of, unless it's really popular.
It's, at our scale, consistency is really important. I mean, Loose Cannon is our best-selling beer. You get Loose Cannon all over the metropolitan area, and it's going to taste pretty much the same everywhere you go. And that's just a lot of years of really hard work. My brewmaster is very talented. His team is very talented. Our quality department manager, it does a great job.
I love to hear this because I'm just hot as hell in a bar, and I'm just going in, right? And
right.
Give me beer, you know. Give me something low. Try some. Or I'm in a liquor store and it's six packs. You know, try this one and that one and this stout and then support this brewery in Ohio or whatever. Put it in there.
Right.
And you come home and you just, I know, like, I've known him longer than, he was the crazy Willy Wonka of beer. Like, I had him on the show 2 weeks ago, which inspired all this. And I said, dude, I used to feel bad that you, like, Budweiser sold all this stuff and you were like this witch doctor in a corner making beer
in this
that
town,
looked
yeah.
like motor oil that I would never drink until I was 40, and now it's all I drink. So,
the early days were interesting. I never forget the first week or two I was actually selling beer at Sisson's, and this is like 1989.
Were you alive then, Tom Brady?
Yeah.
All right, just making sure. I'm just checking. Okay. All right.
So the one of the local neighborhood guys, and that was before it was called Federal Hill. That was when it was still South Balmerhorn. So one of the locals comes in.
Did Turner's have the holograms yet or no?
No, okay, no. The Turner still owned Lush's.
Was the Pit Beef out in front? Lush's. Oh my God. Yes. I haven't thought of Lush's in years.
Yeah. So the Turner's owned Lush's and we owned Sisson's.
It's always fun to get a beer at Lush's. And then you did it.
There was Reggie's around the corner and, there was the Moonlight Lounge, which was the really dumpy bar owned by, I can't even remember, but that was the Sailor's Hookers Bar. So all of the...
I don't want to say I'm familiar with it.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
Remember Rita?
Well, this place was
that's great.
This place was fascinating because they... So all of the sailors that were coming in on the ships, you know, the little Greek guys and the Mesopotamians and the Armenians.
Oh, right,
and
everybody.
So all those guys were... So if you walked in there, you almost heard no English. And
cigarettes everywhere.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
And I smell it. The ladies who were taking advantage of the opportunities.
Right, of course, they're working.
All could have played linebacker for the Ravens.
Oh no.
So it was really interesting. And at that point, Sisson's had a 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the morning license. So we would close at
best
at
wings I've ever had in my life. He told me he marinates the wings that with his family's recipe, and it sounded similar to he had a wing there that like. I tell it like I have to have it. We have a barbecue now. We live outside. The raccoons are going to come want the bones.
Right.
But I want to get that recipe. So nonetheless, his place was awesome. I loved your place.
It was,
you had that big cylinder in the back.
Yeah.
That you brewed beer. He was the only guy that brewed beer. It was like bootlegging. It was like a Smoking Abandoned movie. You know what I mean?
It was a little more legit than that, but.
You're taking Sisson's beer eastbound on Cross Street. You know, that's bootlegging. But I would go in, and you were the only guy. I told you until Bill Blocker came along. I lived in White Marsh, and his whole restaurant was looked like a Willy Wonka factory. You just had, like, because it was such a row house, which you had, right? Literally.
How
the hell did you get that thing in there?
We had a very large window that we created, and all the equipment came through the window.
Nice.
It was something to see. It really was. And this is when restaurants didn't have open kitchens, and you didn't see open baking bread and places and like that. Greg Vedder's here from Tessie Mays. Hughes here. We're at Heavy Seas. We're doing this for Ukraine. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. Elise Resiniak was on the program last week. More on dressings and more on your company and why you base where you base, right? You were down in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here how many years?
I've been in this building for almost 28 years.
I told him I've been in this building two or three times over the years. It's been a few years since I've been here. You could have gone anywhere. You're an Annapolis guy, right?
Yep.
Give me Kelso Drive and Goldman. Because if nobody gets anything out of this, first off, your dressings are great. But more than that, they drive everybody's driven. I made fun of the Toys R Us or the Lovecraft across the street or the Best Buy that was down the way. Or, you know, I can go through Hollibert Sport, you know, all of that. But Golden Ring Mall, I mean, I stole my first kiss there at the movie. So
there you go.
Your Golden Ring's special to me, you know.
Yeah, so we've been there since 2012. We were hand-making dressing at night at Adam's Ribs in Eastport when they closed.
Wow.
So for the first couple of years, we literally made it in bowls. We would back up my dad's Suburban full of product. Adam's Ribs would close. My buddy, who's an investor in Tessie Mays, owned it. And he let me make he wasn't an investor then. He said actually said it was the worst idea he's ever heard in his life. And
same thing Mueller told me about running for mayor. Perfect. <Yeah. laughs>
And so my brothers and I would go make it at night from, like, depending on the batch size, from 10 o'clock at night till like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I would go and sleep for a couple hours. Then I'd go to my day job.
And so what was your day job?
I was selling insurance, employee benefits to companies.
Oh, wow. You really upgraded when you switched to salad dressing.
Oh, well, let me tell you, man. I'm telling you, salad dressing's it.
Much, much better sale than insurance.
Well,
let me show you something you really don't ever want to use.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, we did that for a while, and then we just kept growing and growing.
Was it just one? Give me your lines.
It was lemon garlic dressing.
I want to ask you, too, about your lines, because you have a famous line that is your brand at this point, and you do, too, right? I mean, you have a line that if you're in that store, and we've seen you at Whole Foods and various places, I'd love to get you into Wise, man. So I'll be working on that with my friends. If I have any hookup at all, I'll hook you up. But because it's just so good, I don't know how you do all that, but I do know your brand is at a point where I go to most liquor stores, I can get exactly what I want with you. You're still working to kind of make that happen, right?
We're in a lot of the major stores. I think when you look at kind of the big banners across the country, we're in those. I think where we're not as consistent are the kind of what we call regionals or the smaller mom and pops, because that just becomes a distributor situation.
Yep.
And so for us, you know, we're in Walmart, we're in Target, we're in Whole Foods, we're in all the Krogers, we're in, you know.
I've never looked for you. I don't go into the Target grocery store.
Safeway,
I'm Wise sponsored. I go to Wise all the time. And there are some things at Wise we can't get at Wise that we can hand pick at different places. But for the most part, like, I didn't know you were. Really? You're in every Walmart in America?
We're in all of the... So they break it up in categories of let's call it volume and consumer. And so we're in, let's call it, the top 50% of the Walmarts cross-country.
Okay, fair enough. That's great. That have groceries.
Yeah, Walmart Supercenters.
And about you, when you say when you get my product, you want to be... Because where... I saw your stuff all over the state. Everywhere I went, I saw you. Because I thought to reach to you in regard to the 30 crab cakes. Because I thought there's very few places I'm going to go in this state where I can't get your beer.
Our coverage in Maryland is pretty damn good. We sell beer from Rhode Island to Florida, skip over South Carolina, and we go as far west as Ohio.
Is that like bootlegging in South Carolina?
No, it's.
I just want to talk about Big Enos and Little Enos Burdette. Is all I want to do, you know.
it all has to do with you know, volume and distribution and points of distribution.
Yep.
Grocery is becoming more and more a part of our business because
it's coming. Well, I was in Florida the other day, man. Pick it up, move.
Well, I mean, Maryland is still an independent liquor store state, but we do a lot of business in Virginia, and that's heavily driven by grocery sales.
Yep.
So I kind of.
So you're in the same business. You're trying to get into the same places.
Yeah,
way. Yeah.
Well, in grocery for sure. For him, I mean, it's very convenient.
It's very convenient, but it's, you know. There's pluses and minuses on both. If you get into grocery, you know, you go to one central place, you make the sales call. If they say yes, then you have the authorizations. I'm assuming you're working with distributors?
For some we go direct.
Okay. Well, yep. so the distributor or you goes in and places, but the challenge is grocery stores, unlike what most people think, they do not have large back rooms.
No, they don't.
And a lot of
it's in and out.
Well, above and beyond that, the grocery stores don't put the stuff on the shelves for the most part. you have to have somebody who puts them on the shelves. Maybe not for your product.
Yeah, it's different for us.
Okay, well,
yeah.
For beer, it's just like
Pepsi sending somebody into the chip aisle.
So there's somebody from Pepsi and Coke and Frito-Lay in virtually every.
This is where I give a free shout out to my son for Palm and Palm Wonderful. My son is that guy.
Okay,
so my son is that guy.
So I mean that's a lot of work. So
it's a lot of work. The direct store delivery kind of.
My son's on the road all day, and he's nowhere other than grocery stores all day long.
Yep.
So when I say to him, "You want to go to Wise?" He's like, "Dad, I'm at Wise all day." You know, Greg Vedder's here from Tessie Mays. Hugh Sisson, call you the Godfather of beer? Or is that
whatever?
Insult? What do people call you around here?
Hugh.
All right, Hugh is here. We're at Heavy Seas. We're talking. I love talking the business side of this because people pass these businesses every day and don't realize. Oh, I'm in Boca. I can get a Heavy Seas, or I'm in her sister and her bought your dressings up in New Hampshire because you can get them there, right?
Yep.
And there's that word of mouth and like all of that, but just more than that, you guys are local companies, man, and you're doing really cool stuff here. You're doing stuff. I talked to you with my wife on the last segment about the Today Show. Just vision for what you have. I mean, I've known you since I'm making fun of the wings and the back and the looking through the Willy Wonka glass. I know of you through your dressing and the lore of 4 years I've been trying to get this guy on the show. So I appreciate you coming out and give Genevieve my big tell them all that I've tried to have your brother, everybody. But, you know, for you guys to come out and be part of this and Baltimore and why you're in Baltimore, we call it Baltimore Positive. You know, there's Ravens and Orioles and Terps and like all of that stuff and your lacrosse background. I had never been to Chestertown, right, in my life because I'm
Washington
on 50.
College?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the Crab Cake Tour last year, it's my 30th anniversary. I'm like, you know, I want to do something fun and special. I started the Crab Cake Tour, and I thought this is a conversation where local executives would get together, maybe over a beer, maybe with a crab cake, and like hang out. So in August, I did all this stuff. I sat with Heather Mazier on the water, just talking about life in the Chestertown and why she's there. And then she sent me to an ice cream shop up on the square, which I'm sure you've had an ice cream at that place, right? Just seeing the state and seeing local things and what, when I have Larry Hogan on, when I have Johnny O on, when I have Brandon Scott on, when I have Stuart Pittman or Howard County Calvin Ball or anybody, what they're trying to do. You brought a business here. You brought a business to Baltimore County specifically and in Maryland and trying to make this work on a bigger than trying to sell dressing in Essex or trying to sell beer in Halethorpe,
it's
right?
It's not a garage business anymore.
Well, you got the world. You got a place in Ukraine that you're here honoring today.
That's right.
From halfway, that's house. You know, I remember going through that ride at Disney World with my parents in '77, saying it's a small world, right? But it is, really is, right?
Now I remember starting all this, and I never envisioned that we would get to this kind of scale. I mean, we're going to ship a little over 500,000 cases of beer this year. That's a lot of beer.
It's awesome.
It's more than I can drink.
Well, how do you measure what you sell in dressing? And
it's cases.
I would say if you're in Walmart now, you weren't 3 years ago in that way, or like in my mind you weren't. You're really growing. I mean, please talk. Give me a little. Tell me about your business.
I mean, we're the number one organic dressing in the country.
Awesome.
But that, you know,
what does that mean?
That just means that
to my wife who's had cancer twice, who sees organic and thinks, okay, I can have that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as opposed to process, which is probably shouldn't touch that.
Yeah. Right. So specifically to the organic certification component, is that what you're asking?
Sure.
Yeah. So it's just one of these things where, you have to get certified every component of your ingredient, raw material supply chain has to be verified and certified. Your facility has to be certified. And they basically trace it all the way back. There's a kind of food integrity audit because a lot of times what you'll see without that certification is people can just use ingredients that aren't actually what's in the label, right? And so that happened with olive oil. There was a massive kind of olive oil tampering coming out of, I want to say it was Italy, where those distributors were cutting it with canola oil.
Oh, really?
And selling it. And so,
cutting it.
Right.
That says it all. That's like burner phone.
Well,
it just kind of speaks for itself.
But
right?
It goes back to one of these things of like, okay, you kind of look at a bigger problem that we're having, whether it's like obesity or disease or whatever, and it goes back to like trust in your food or trust in your beer and who's making it and can you trust them and are they doing things the right way? And so the local component's obviously important, but I think the other piece is the next step up, which is like, what does this guy stand for? What's his beer stand for? How's he treating his employees, right? And people, maybe they say they care about it, but I don't know if they
When the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, when the rubber meets the road.
I was at the NFL owners meetings the other day. You think the Browns fans are going to be, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, when you're a fan, but people become fans of a brand. Somebody today is going to learn about you and your story through here, or you and they're going to say, oh, man, that's the crazy brew guy from South Baltimore with the great wings that he was doing the nice thing for the brewery over in Liège with the Molotov cocktails and all that stuff. And I guess that's, you know, where I am with this is just, I've loved the Ravens, I've loved the Orioles, I've loved the Terps, I've loved the Caps, I've, you know, had a million lacrosse coaches. I have all these basketball. I was with Tamir Goodman last week doing unbelievable things over in Israel and bringing people on. But then there's the, I can do that, but then there's the, man, I love your dressing. And I've, you know, your wings I still talk about or whatever, but the story of you still being here is inspirational to me because I'm still here, right? 31 years into this. I'm going to 31 breweries this summer and 31 crab cakes. And I think about people that have based businesses here based on, I got into this because my last name was Aparicio. I love sports. I was a sports writer. I did all that. You loved beer, right? And now you're talking kegs and this and liters and gallons and laws. And you like had a dressing your mother made and had a lacrosse stick. And, you know, but then you have to learn like,
yeah, but don't
the hard stuff, the business part of this.
See, the special nuance was he used to stir the original batches with the lacrosse stick.
No.
That's why it tastes
so
good.
You didn't even hear. I want your best story in a minute. What? His best story was that his buddy broke into his house to steal his mother's dressing. Beat that. Sir, that's it, right? That's your story, Greg, right?
Okay.
That's when he knew he had to have a business, that his buddy was breaking in to steal the dressing.
I don't think I can touch that.
When did you know your beer was good and you could make this work and you'd be sitting here 28 years later and saying, I'm sitting over here in Halethorpe still making beer and distributing it in Florida where they told me it would never come. You know who's an inspirational? Johnny Rollo. Do you guys know John from MMA? And Johnny and I were altar boys together, played football. He was always three times bigger than us. He came to me early on and I don't agree. I mean, I'm not an MMA fan. I'm not a UFC fan. You talked about the violence of, you know, lacrosse and all that. It's just not my thing. I just want to watch it. But he came to me long before it was legal, long before anybody. He said, I'm going to Annapolis, Dana White, this guy, and Joe Rogan, and we're, you know, and he was, and it's like all of that. You were one of those guys with beer, and obviously dressing, everybody ever told him it was a bad idea, right? Did anybody tell you it was a good idea?
My wife.
Well, she loves you.
Well, no, she gives me, you know, she's honest. I called her. I'm like, hey, I'm going to start a salad dressing company. She was like, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I had tried to start something like 2 weeks prior. And she's like, if you start that stupid thing, I will leave you.
Was it Barney Rubble, Fred Flintstone in the garage?
Very similar. Yeah.
When did this become a good idea to get a bank and come over here and do this?
Oh, well.
Because you need a bank. You need the government. You need love. Well, you need people. There's just so much stuff you need that it's amazing.
So the Sissons, the brew pub thing, which, you know, I was there from 1980 to the end of 94. All of that sort of those ideas almost kind of financed
themselves.
It was a
restaurant.
Yeah, and it was sort of organic. And by the time I left, I mean, we started brewing there in 89, and I did the brewing until the end of 94. I mean, at that stage, there was proof of concept. So when I decided to leave there to build this facility and scale it up.
That's mailing list then, right? Literally mailing list.
That's, well, so the... I got a local bank to say if I raised $1 million in capital, they would give me $1 million worth of financing. So I needed to raise $1 million.
50-50. Okay.
So and I didn't have any money.
Right.
So it's a really terrifying thing when you're just basically picking up a list of names, and you know you eliminate the friends and family component fairly quickly.
Right.
And then you're picking up the phone and literally calling people you don't know and saying,
I have an idea.
Can I come see you and explain to you why you should write me a check for $50,000?
And I'm bringing beer to the meeting.
Well, actually, I wasn't bringing beer to the meeting because I didn't have assistants anymore. But at least if it was local, they already knew. I mean, like I said, the proof of concept had been established. But that whole process of raising capital is completely terrifying because, you know, it was one of those things. I had left the restaurant.
My book was this big when I lured Brian Billick and other folks into my business foolishly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, so I don't know. But I got a slight inkling that maybe this was going to work because I started really raising capital in earnest like January 1st of 1995. And I finished my raise on March 17th of 1995. Now, if you're starting a brewery, finishing your capital raise on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yes.
Generally a good omen there.
Absolutely. All right. Hugh Sisson here. I want to hear yours because, like, you're... did you know this stuff was going to be in Walmart one day? When you sat down, your wife's like, honey... that dressing's really good. Let's do this. And you're thinking, well, maybe one day, you know, Ruth's Chris will buy it. Or one day, you know, whatever that would be for whatever your goal was.
Right.
I'm goal setting right now over the next 10 years for what I've done with Baltimore Positive and just having nice folks like you come by and people like the lottery and Goodwill sponsoring us and sitting with different kinds of people in different kinds of ways. There is that thing where you're dreaming something that... no one was making beer. I keep telling the young guy, the Tom Brady guy. This guy was like,
right.
No one believed. And now dressing, we're all three of us are like, dressing, this guy's got something here, you know?
Well, I think it was one of those situations where my brothers and I are very competitive. So
the lacrosse kicked in?
Yeah. The first thing we just wanted to do was, you know, get into a legitimate store.
Right.
Right. So it was just... we're going to get into Whole Foods. That's the first goal.
And there's your proof of concept.
Right. And so we got in, right? And we got in for the grand opening of the new Annapolis Whole Foods, mm-hmm. which was May 1st, 2009.
We've always wanted to go down there and sit in the kitchen and chop stuff when we go down there.
And so I set up a demo, and I was behind the demo table. Yep. I partnered with a local lettuce company, and I was handing out samples of lemon garlic dressing on lettuce in a little cup with a toothpick. And we ended up that week setting a national sales record for Whole Foods. We sold 650 bottles of one SKU in one store in 5 days.
And you're
days.
An Annapolis
That's
kid,
awesome.
So yeah. You had some people coming in kind of like being a part of that.
A little bit.
You want to move the needle. Every New York Times writer I have ever had on tells me that first weekend, like having one success, you can, you know, like that launched everything, right? If that hadn't gone well...
yeah, we wouldn't be here.
And if the product hadn't been of a certain quality level, right. They wouldn't have sold the 650.
Right, right.
So, you have to... everything's got to line up. The product's got to be right. The packaging's got to be right. The presentation's got to be right. The get off your duff and go work the hell out of it's got to be right.
100%.
You still do samplings?
We do.
I still do samplings.
Yeah. Well, you got... it's a pulse with the customer.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's kind of funny, you know, when I walk into the store to do the sampling, the store owner goes, really? And I said, yeah, come on, dirt under my fingernails. I'm still here.
Hey, man, that's beautiful, man.
Well, but it's important. I mean,
would you really rather be on a beach in Florida right now? Some of the time, maybe, but would you rather be there all the time? This is more fun.
No.
This is your life.
Well,
he's young. He doesn't know.
I mean, look, I got lots of times when there's something I would rather be doing than sitting in a store handing out samples of beer. But by the same token, there's a lot of benefits I get. First off, it's a powerful message to the retailer. It's a powerful message to my wholesaler. And this is where it really, I think, makes a difference, is if I'm standing in a store sampling, I'm getting a chance to watch, not through some sort of industry rag or whatever, but I'm watching to see what they're buying.
Yeah.
So if they're doing some, I mean, I can see the trends as they're happening in the trade before I have to go,
100%.
And there's value to that.
Have you guys both read Gary Vaynerchuk's work, Crush It, or do you know about Gary?
No.
Gary, well, first off, he's legendary, millions of followers and entrepreneur spirit, but he was a kid from Eastern Europe who was up in New Jersey on the freeway up that way. His father had a liquor store, mm-hmm. and he was in the liquor store, and at that time, and I'd have him tell it, I didn't see him at the Super Bowl this year, but he's, Google him, he's a special dude, and he said that when people would come in for beer, they knew what they wanted. When they came in for liquor, they knew what they wanted. When they came in for wine, they were completely befuddled. And he became, as a 10-year-old kid, a wine expert to say, you want this, you want that. I told you last time I had you on, Matt Crowe and different people. I remember when Miller Lite had me at one of their huge events at Camden Yards 20 years ago. They had a blonde, a bold, a platinum, a red, and they were you know, trying, they had test markets. They knew this was coming, right? That this that this variety was coming for people. But people coming in and saying, I'll try that, was something in your industry people didn't do. And I think it for you, everybody's had a ranch. Everybody's had a Catalina. Everybody's had a whatever. But not everybody's had a lemon. You know, like, there's something about trying something that when you're sampling something in front of people, taste it once. One taste is all it takes to say, don't like that IPA, like that ale, love that stout. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much, right?
It's a taste. We demoed in every Whole Foods in the United States of America, my brothers and I.
Wow.
We went to every single one. That's how we became a national vendor in Whole Foods. Everybody, you said, get off your butt and, and make it happen. You know, we would call these kind of regional buyers at Whole Foods because they were decentralized at the time before they sold to Amazon. And you'd get no. They're like, yeah, no, we're not interested. And you're like, well, I'm going to make it happen. And so you would go down there and you would find a way to, you know, get a local buyer and they could buy within 6 hours of this. So then you would cross over into a different region that was still 6 hours from where we were making it. And you would get them to buy it. You'd get data. You'd call them back and go, well, you know, we sold 100 bottles in 4 hours. You should probably carry it. And then we told the story in every store in the country. And then, you know, word got out that these guys were hustling salad
dressing. How many dressings did you have at that time? What's your line? You had one dressing.
We had lemon garlic dressing.
Cool.
That's crazy.
And then, that's actually great.
Right? From an efficiency perspective.
I mean, I think I make 30-some kinds of beer over the course of a year.
Now we have like 30-some odd.
And guys like me come in and complain I can't find what I like.
Right?
What? Huh? Where's my blueberry stout, dude? Make me my pumpkin. Dude, it's July.
We have the top pumpkin beer in the country. But
when does that start? Well, that would speak to the next thing we're doing. You guys going to stay a little bit? Or you got to go?
I got to go pick up my wife and then I'll come back.
No, I'll stay with this then. When you do a seasonal like pumpkin, I learned a lot with Taharka the last couple of years because I love their ice cream and they're local and they had a great message.
And we actually did a collaboration with them here.
Of course you did, right? And they wanted to do local things with local people. But seeing what they do to get an eggnog online or whatever, I would say for you guys, everything is scheduled, right? I mean, you know, right now, July 28th, you're making pumpkin or like that?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the pumpkins are already in the our pumpkin ale is actually bourbon barrel aged. So those barrels are already full. They're sitting in the brewery right now.
Where's that? Here?
Yeah.
Man, efficiency, man. That's small business, you know, do or die, right?
Well, it's, I mean, so half of it gets aged for, I don't know, 7 or 8 months in the whiskey barrels. And then we brew whatever we need to sort of fill in to get to the final volume, unbarrel aged, and blend the two together.
Dude's got to get hops. You're getting cilantro, right?
Like, we're getting all types. Actually,
where do you get your product?
All over. Unfortunately, right now, 75% or 80% of the world's sunflower oil is out of Ukraine.
Oh, God.
Oh, my wife's saying, yeah, she knew that.
And so,
what does that mean? Gasoline for you, right?
Well, it puts the entire global supply chain kind of, everybody's hunkered down trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's been wild. It's been wild.
Yeah. We're dealing with similar things. I mean, not quite as that's really tough for what you're trying to do. I mean, the aluminum can situation is completely screwed up.
Yes.
So Ball Corporation, who's the largest manufacturer of aluminum beverage cans, definitely in the U.S., maybe in the world, and we were buying direct from them, and we could buy, you know, up to like minimum of 4,200 cases worth of a single SKU. And they announced second week in December that effective January 1, they pushed it off to April 1. But going forward, we would need to order 45,000 cases per SKU if we wanted the pre-printed cans.
Why?
Because they just don't want to deal with the complexity.
Oh.
you know, Anheuser-Busch and
logistics,
Molson
Coors. It's a logistics issue.
Well, yeah, but it, but
first come, first serve. The big, bigger, well,
it's,
bigger.
It's a simplification
for them. But so
it's horrible for everybody else.
So the top 50,
the big guys win, the little guys lose.
The top 50 to 75 brewers in the country can do that, and we're probably around 150 or 160. And the really small guys who are getting unprinted cans and then putting paper labels on them, they can still get those. So all of us, you know, the whole thing is either be really small or really big. Because if you're really in the middle, you're really screwed.
Last thing for you before I get you out of here, Putin drinks light beer and what you're doing here. Tell everybody again, because I brought you in late to the game. Hugh Sisson's here. Greg Vetter of Tessie Mays is here. We're supporting the Pravda beer folks, and this thing was your inspiration. And this will be available locally. If you're out anywhere in Baltimore County, where both these businesses are, you'll be able to find this beer.
You'll be able to find this on tap in bars and restaurants probably beginning the middle of April. Right now, if you want to get this, you have to come to the tap room. We're starting to serve it today. We'll have it on tap. We'll have it in crowlers.
And I'm thirsty.
This is the original artwork that came from the brewery in Lviv.
That's a special green Canadian maple leaf, Ukrainian maple leaf.
We only have 50 of these cans with this original label, but you can still get the product. And all of the proceeds are going to the United Nations Ukrainian Relief Fund.
Hugh Sisson, Greg, you're out of here, man, right?
Yep.
Thank you so much. Really nice to meet you. Love your product.
Thank you, sir.
And the wing recipe.
I'll work on
it. I left you alone on the air about
it.
I
appreciate
behind
that.
The scenes, I'm like poking him a little bit. Right. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We got some Betty Boop scratch-offs. We're going to give those away here. I'm going to need Roz next week for the next batch of all of this. We're going to be at Greenmount Station in Hampstead on the 15th. The 22nd, we're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog, now of White Marsh, after 100 years in Highlandtown. Andy's brought his crab cake up to White Marsh. And we're going to be up in Baltimore County hanging out. And we're going to be also at Conrad's in Perry Hall on the 27th. So I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore, positive, and dressings and beer and good stuff that I'm going to enjoy.